Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from the default location, default route. I want to stop and take time to wish everyone who hears this and who doesn't, to every entity, to every organism, to every inanimate object, to all parts of the universe, as I've said, every elementary particle and every atom in this universe and any universe that ever was, is, or will be. I want to take the time and to wish that and them and everything a happy new year. A happy, happy new year. The reason I brought it up this way and with such emphasis on the wishing of Happy New Year's is because there was a time when I couldn't do that. There was a time where it was very difficult for me to be happy for someone else or something else. And it's not like I was hating on them. It's not like if you'd ask me, so-and-so been to Europe. Isn't that nice? I would say, no, I don't want them to go to Europe. Or no, I can't stand it because they went to Europe. It's not that I was hating on them. It's more that I couldn't be happy for them. And as I go on in life, I'm realizing it's because I wasn't fulfilled. I know this is a reoccurring subject, but I'm realizing that I didn't have what I wanted. I hadn't accomplished the things that I wanted to do. I was still in strong desire of stimulation or this or that or travel or accomplishment. So basically that kind of was in the forefront of my thinking. Again, it's not like I was hating on anybody. Oh, take it away from them. They don't deserve it. It wasn't nowhere near like that. It was just more or less that I couldn't be happy. Now, there was a little bit of haterade in there. There was a little bit of hate, whatever you want to call it. It really wasn't hate. I don't think I'm capable of hate. The way I was raised and the things I went to, I don't think I have the capacity to hate. I don't think I have the capacity to drum up that kind of emotion, because nothing in my life has pushed me to feel that way, to get there after 60 years, 62 years of this. My life has been so congenial, or I don't want to say good or whatever, that I was never pushed to a level where I actually hated. Now, there was a couple times where I remember dealing with the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, where it was very close to hate. They was taking money out of my check. There was nothing I could do about it. And that was probably one of the times I really had something in my heart that I couldn't control, and it really pushed me. I was pushed to a limit. But other than that, I may not even have the capacity to hate. So coming up and going through life, even when I was younger, even I was too young to even have these things or experience these things, I would see somebody doing something or did something or come something, and I'd be like, okay. Now, I would study them. I would see how they did it. I may even ask them how they did it. Where'd you get that? How you get that? Where'd you get that from? You know? But to be truly happy for them, no, I couldn't, because I didn't have it. I wasn't there yet. Now, at age 62, and in the position I am in life, as far as my foundation, living arrangements, job, career, family around me, people around me, my experiences, et cetera, my equipment, my cameras, my computers, my car, everything, my financial situation, all of it has come together to where I'm happy and I'm satisfied. I'm happy and I'm very satisfied, quite possibly even too satisfied. But I'm on it. I'm staying on it. You see, I'm out here getting my steps in. Out here, I still work on my web pages and my computers, my cameras, my hard drives. I keep all my data encrypted. You know, I'm still working on the empire. But for the most part, you know, I'm content. Like I said, possibly too content. Maybe there needs to be a sense of urgency. Considering what I want to accomplish, there may need to be a sense of urgency. But history doesn't work that way. History just happens. I wonder if that's true. Does history just happen? Not really. History doesn't just happen. The effort has to be put forth somewhere. And I'm putting forth the effort. I just can't gauge or determine or foresee how history is going to act on all the things I'm doing. That remains the unknown. I just know, build it and they will come. That's my idea. So I'm pretty content. You know, I got this, I got that. I've been there, done that, seen this. So now it's very easy for me. No, it's easier, or maybe easier for me to be happy for other people. In fact, I want other people to be happy and to get the things they want. Like I said before, I believe the greatest thing in the universe is a self-aware conscious entity such as human beings accomplishing or becoming that which they want to be. Not what, you know, the standard of society wants them to be. Not what we think is happy. Not what is supposed to be good. Not what is supposed to be prosperous. Successful. It has to be determined by them. And to achieve that, I think is the greatest thing in the universe. And now that I ain't gonna say I achieved it because it sounds so final. It sounds like it's complete once you achieve it. But you know, now that I'm where I'm at, I want to see other people get there too. So I really do, really, really do wish all the people around me and everybody a happy new year and success. Because number one, I don't want to have to worry about your problem when I'm going through life. I don't want to hear about, well, I do like hearing about it to a degree. And like hearing about it, maybe not the right way to put it, but I understand that going through people's problems, sharing people's problems and being involved, there's some stimulation in that. There's some kind of positive stimulation that I do get when people share their issues or problems, or exchange that emotion is shared with me, and I can go through it with them. There's something there. There's definitely something there. And it may be because of my self-perceived problem-solving abilities, my possible capability of thinking I can fix anything. Or, so, it may be like, hey, what's your problem? Tell me what's your problem. Let's get it fixed. You know, I don't say let's get it fixed, but, you know, you just listen. I've learned how to gently make suggestions and gently a kind of, I'm turning the brightness down. And gently kind of help them through it, you know, without becoming completely involved. You know, I like my autonomy. You know, I love my autonomy. So I really do want everybody to be happy and successful. You know, when I get up and I hit Facebook, you know, the friends, and either close friends or family, or, you know, people who you interact with on Facebook and maybe never met, I don't necessarily want to see them going through bad times. You know, I don't want to see anybody going through bad times. That can be called empathy. and forget about the selfishness of it, because you know I'm a strong believer in self first and selfishness. Taking care of me first and foremost. The welfare and well-being of the people around me directly affect me. So that even from a selfish standpoint, I want to see people around me prosper and do well. Because, you know, I'm happy, I'm there, and I want everybody else to be, especially people I really care about. Especially the people I really care about. And maybe, and also with that, maybe in another way, my vibration is so high and my level of enthusiasm and love for my existence and excitedness and, you know, this optimism and all that, I found that, and I kind of thought I knew this years ago when I was young, that for me to be as happy as I want to be and to express that happiness, I need to be alone. You really can't, well, I found that it was difficult to really express my happiness to the level that I was capable of doing around other people, regardless of the situation, regardless of the situation or the relationship. I found that a lot of times I could achieve my highest point of excitement or adulation. I don't know what the word is. I don't know what the word is. The highest level of vibration. Or I keep thinking vibration and frequency because I keep going out. And this feels good. And I feel serotonin and dopamine going through my body or whatever. I just feel hype and good. I found at an early age that for me to fully express that or to feel it, I had to do it by myself. Because other people react to it one way or the other. And it slowed me down or was a distraction from it. So over the years, it became easy for me to be alone and to do things by myself. I'll never, ever, ever forget, and I'll tell this story again. Me and Andrea was hanging out. I guess y'all could call it dating, but it was way beyond that. But we wasn't boyfriend, girlfriend. She was my best friend ever. If I had a best friend, you know, she did her thing, I did my thing. Sometimes we did things together. But we was just together. We was just, and I was going to Super Bowl. I had a ticket to go to Super Bowl. Pittsburgh was playing the Super Bowl. And we was talking on the phone, you know, I'm going to get these snacks. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she got mad or something and said she didn't want to go and hung up. And I was like, oh, well. I was like, oh, well. And I got a chance to think about it, think about going by myself. I got a real chance to say, you know, I really had a good, because I always was with somebody. Back in that time, I was always with somebody. I always had a girlfriend or somebody to hang out with. You know, it was always, I was a coupled up, but I always had somebody there. Somebody was always there. And I was used to doing things like that. And going with her would have been fun. You know, we just was a good fit. If anybody was to allow me to be fully expressed, it would be her. You know, our relationship we had. She was just accommodating. She knew how to cook. Just everything. Just a good, you know, just a good. A side man. What was the word? Not navigator, but something side. Something where she used to even celebrate that because that was her personality. Whereas I was probably more of a leader or solo. So she hung up and she was mad at something. And I lay there thinking, you know, whatever. And by the time she called back, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go by myself. And I'm gonna go by myself. And of course, she got a little bit upset. But I told her, I said, no. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, I'm gonna go down there. We're gonna be texting back and forth. And, you know, we're still sent, just like, you know, our relationship ain't changed nothing. But I just wanna go down there by myself. I wanna do it by myself. And she, you know, I talked her down and, you know, got her through it. Cause I knew when I told her I wanna go by myself, it was gonna be, first of all, you know, she'd get mad and I ain't going. And hang up and they call back. And I said, I'm going by myself. And you know how it is. And I knew how to handle that. So I talked her down. I wasn't mean about it. I was like, yeah, you know, it'd be cool. And so I went, you know, I had one of the best times of my life. I went by myself. I went and I had one of the best times I had ever had in my life. It was like the first time I ever did something intentionally by myself. Oh my God. I was talking to myself. I was talking to anything and everything. I was just free to go, to stop, to do this. It was one of the best experiences. It changed my life. From then on, that was 1996. From then on, you know, when I travel, I've been traveling solo since, for the most part. For the very, very, very most part. I don't be having road dogs. I don't be having travel people. You know, ain't none of that. Hey, let's go to blah, blah, blah. Nope. It's like, I'm going there. I'm going. People look at me like, huh? Some people even ask, can I go with you? And I'd be like, But ever since then, I remember that first day going down there at Super Bowl by myself. I had a regular film camera, 35 millimeter camera, and this and that, and had my jersey and just went to a Super Bowl. But that experience by myself changed my life. Oh my God, changed my life. And even saying that, you know, I done went down there and I didn't, you know, did this or that, I'm sure. But it was beneficial to me, or advantageous to me, I think, to know that she was okay. To know that she was okay, that me and her were still cool. You know, she ain't hurt, she ain't too upset. You know, because the people around me matter. Now that I'm happy, I want everybody else around me to be happy too. You know, I want everybody else around me to be happy too. Let's all be happy. Let's all celebrate. And like I said, there was a time when I didn't have what I wanted. I didn't feel my voice was being heard. I hadn't accomplished the things I wanted. And it was just hard for me to be happy for other people. But now, I'm like, yeah, baby. Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, Jeffrey TV. Very happy with who I am and where I am, the person I've become. And quite possibly there's no better feeling. Quite possibly there's no better feeling in the universe for a self-aware organism for them to realize and acknowledge that they may or may not have become that which they always desired to be. There's nothing in my mind that compares, because I identified it, created it. I said that I wanted to become that. These are my desires, my passions. My desires and my passions are fulfilled. Can there be anything more rewarding than that? To have all your desires and passions fulfilled. Can there be anything more rewarding than that for a self-aware entity? That which you want for yourself. Nothing compares. So in saying that, I wish that for everyone and everything around me. And one of the major points of this is that there was a time where I couldn't be happy for people because I guess wasn't happy for myself. It was hard for me to be happy for other people when I wasn't happy with myself or where I was at. And it's not that, you know, I was in a bad place or I'm doing bad. You know, I was always quote unquote successful, and, you know, in my space or in my group or in my station in life. I was always successful. I always kind of knew how to be successful like that. I knew the things that I wanted to accomplish. I knew the things that was expected of me to become successful. It's basically, I'm talking about school and just, you know, what your parents teach you and the tools and the ideas they have about what success is. I take what they tell me, what school tells me, and I match it up with what I think. And I keep thinking third grade, I was doing this stuff back in third grade, making decisions based on authority, when to challenge authority, when not to, the power of authority, where I've looked at adults knowing I was right or feeling I was right and they were wrong, but knowing they had the power that I wasn't gonna win. And just sitting there looking at them like, and I guess now that I think about it right now, literally, they probably knew. They could probably see it on my face that that's what I was doing. Where I'm just like, where I just get to a point where I'm like, okay, you got the power. You win. I mean, even at early age, third grade, fourth grade. Because I never had a problem with believing, accepting that I was the smartest person in the room, or that I had answers that other people didn't have, or better yet, that I respected my decisions and my thinking and my worldview and my perceptions more than people with a lot more experience, a lot more power. I'm talking about my parents and teachers. My parents are teachers. My father, greatest man I've ever known, has done more for me than any other male human being in the universe. Smartest, strongest, straight, just not a flaw in his armor. Even him, I'd look at him and say, I don't agree with that. I probably would never verbalize it, but I was like, oh. He's wrong, or something like that. That's not the way I see it. I learned that, but I learned how to keep it to myself. You know, I learned how when and how to challenge authority. That's the way you do it. And to be that mischievous behavior in the classroom or wherever, slightly disruptive, but yet creative and entertaining, with no hatred or malice behind it. Just good old fashioned intellectual mischievousness on a deeper level. Oh my God, I love myself. No, I don't love myself. I do love myself. It's like, I don't love Jeffrey, I love being Jeffrey, basically. Loving Jeffrey doesn't make any sense to me. I love Jeffrey. It kind of does, and some people in rudimentary terms might understand that. But it's more so, I love being Jeffrey. I love that which I created. And now that I'm there, I'm just thankful. As I look around and see how many people may or may not have what I have or achieve what I have. And not necessarily achieve or, you know, be there, done that, have this, have that, but achieve for themselves what they desire. That's what, it's not about the money. It's not about the travel. It's not about Seen P-Funk 200 times. Not about, you know, all the stuff I've done and seen and accomplished and built. It's not that. It's about them achieving what they want for themselves, whatever that is. And I look around and I wonder how many people are going to be fulfilled like that. How many people are ever going to get there? Am I deluding myself? Have I changed what I want and desire to match what I have? It's definitely some of that to a degree. It's definitely some of that to a degree. You know, I'm flexible in my desires. There's definitely some of that. But for the most part, I decided what I wanted. I decided how I wanted it and how I wanted to be for myself and the things around me, the life I wanted to live. And just thinking of it now, one of the basic things on that is lying. I ain't told a lie since 1989. I have not deliberately told somebody something that I knew was not true since 1989. I remember when it happened. I remember the situation. I remember standing in that shower on San Marino Avenue, and I decided I don't ever want to be in this position again. I will not be in this position ever, ever, ever again. And that's when I decided I'm not gonna lie. And I undertook that as a tenet, as a mission statement for myself, on steroids. That meant telling the truth about everything. Do you like my hair? No, I don't. You know, and then eventually I learned how to not answer the question. Answer the question without answering the question. But basically, and from that time on, it freed me. I didn't have to lie or say something I knew wasn't true to make the people around me happy or something like that. I didn't have to. I stopped. The only thing I would express is what I truly deeply believe. Because, you know, it was back when I was younger. Let's just say I was dating two or three people at the same time. And it got kind of deep and thick with one of them. And one of them was like a very special person. And another one was just a skank. And it's just, I didn't want to have to be in a position to tell somebody that I really cared for, you know, the truth. But I knew I had to. I knew I had to. And I said, I'm never ever going to do this again. I'm just going to be me. Since then, I've never deliberately told a lie. I just won't do it. And that integrity has been with me for the last 30 years or so. And I carry that like a badge and a sword. And it's freed me. The freedom of independence, the freedom of it. The freedom of just always knowing the truth. And then after so many years, the people around you start to learn. The people that meet you start to learn. This guy's going to tell you the truth. Be careful what you ask him, because he's going to tell you the truth. And I treasure that person. I treasure that person, which is me. So the well-being and welfare of people around me and the people I care about is important. It's selfish, and I love selfish. Again, I think people need to be more selfish than self first. And that, I think that's, even though I've never told anybody what to be, and even though I know we need all kinds, I gotta say, people, I'm glad you're the kind of person you are, but I'm also glad I'm not like that. Because we need all kinds of people. We need people with empathy and sympathy you know, save the whales, you know, protect the environment. All we need, all kinds. We need diversity of all kinds of thinkings and understandings. But I think, and see, here's what gets weird. I think a lot of people can't be happy because they're not ruthless enough. That statement may not jive with my overall philosophy, which is pretty much live and let live. But a lot of times I see people who aren't happy, or who I don't think will be happy, but I can't say that because happiness is different across the board. But to generally put it, to put it bluntly and generally, people need to be, I think, more ruthless. You know, I like using the word ruthless for some reason. Have to be more ruthless and at least more demanding to be happy. First, you gotta figure out what it is you want, which ain't an easy thing. You gotta figure out exactly what it is you want. And like I said, that ain't the easiest thing in the world. And then you have to fight for it. You almost gotta be ruthless, especially when it comes to family and whatnot. Sometimes you gotta say no. Sometimes you gotta cut them off. Because life has a way of taking advantage of every opportunity. Life, every energy in the universe is consumed or used by another energy. Is it symbiotic or whatever? I don't know what the word is. But if you leave your energy or your well-being or your time or your capability of your actions out there, somebody gonna come take advantage of it. Not take advantage of it in a bad way, but somebody's gonna utilize it. So you gotta get to a point where you tell people no. No, 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 no. And I mean, no, this is just my thing for me. I don't want to apply this to everybody else. Because obviously there's some people out there who can't say no. And saying no, and them saying no, makes them unhappy. So you got to be able to say no. And you got to fight for a space. You got to build and fight to maintain that space in life. Or somebody or something is going to come and, you know, maybe not even with ill intent or to be, you know, harmful. It's just things happen to where that space or that time or that action or that energy is going to get used up by something else. Inadvertently or overtly, just the way life is built and society is built. You got to fight for it to maintain it, to keep it for yourself. Fight might be a word that I like to use, but you have to do something to maintain that. You got to maintain your own happiness. Happiness just don't happen. You just don't wake up, whoop, I'm happy. As a toddler, growing up, but as you become an adult, happy takes work. You got to put in work. You got to fight for it. I keep using the word fight. You got to build it. You got to, in the fight, I like the word fight because there are things out there that will naturally tap that energy and utilize that energy for themselves. And like I said, and not in a mischievous or nefarious, well, definitely in a mischievous, nefarious way, but a lot of times it just happens. You know, it just happens. Somebody sees an opportunity and say, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you ain't got nothing left for yourself. But again, as I say, the diversity of people, and back to my original highest statement, which I believe, there's nothing higher than a self-aware entity becoming that which it wants to be. Maybe that's what some people want to be. Maybe some people want to be that person or that thing. Maybe that's their happy space. Not allowing people to use their energy, but allowing people, you know, to use their energy. Allowing people, I don't want to say exploit because it sounds negative, allowing people to utilize them, and they feel happy in a subservient role, not so much subservient, but in accommodating or serving, or they feel more comfortable serving. Some people feel more comfortable hosting. Some people feel more comfortable leading. Some people feel more comfortable being left the hell alone. Some people need to be around other people constantly. And again, back to my highest statement, it's all up to the individual becoming that which you want to be. And you got to find that out. You got to determine that yourself. It just ain't going to fall out of the sky. Can't nobody determine it for you. And if you want to believe in God and heaven and all that, that's your thing. That's on you. If that's the person you want to be and it makes you happy, so be it. No one, not even me, no one can tell you any different. And that's why it's probably very hard, if even possible, to find happiness or direction or ideology in an outside source. It has to come from within. The kingdom of heaven is within. To borrow a phrase. So, I guess all that ties back into me being happy, wishing happiness on everyone around me. And let's do this thing, you know? This life thing. We're here, we live, we die. We live and we die. It's like at my father's funeral. You know, I'm standing there talking in front of the church, and my father laying there in the casket. And I look over, I say, you did it, man. You had a good life. You did it. You created the greatest thing in the universe, which is myself, me, I was talking about. I mean, you respectable. Everybody, you know, Mr. Mitchell, I can't speak for him, I can't say about becoming the person he wanted to be, but he definitely lived an ideal. He definitely maintained and lived an ideal of integrity. Everybody around him knew it, they saw it, they respected it. That's the real Mr. Mitchell right there. I myself don't have that much discipline. I was the one who, as he would always say, stop acting a fool. Acting a fool was my thing. And that was one thing he could not stand. Acting a fool was my thing, and that was the one thing he could not stand. And I think that's what happens between father and son. I know it's happened to me and my son. Because, like, the one thing I cannot stand, he does. The one thing that just gets me and I cannot stand, he does. And there's kind of a respect for that. You know, it's kind of a respect for, I don't like tell him. Well, I do mention it, you know, I'm going to mention it, you know, I got to say something somewhere along the line. But, you know, I'm not on him all the time about it, whatever he does. He just lives his way. And I remember when I was drinking, I was doing this and doing that. And probably, no, definitely not living the way my parents wanted me to. Until I cleaned up and got myself together. I can understand that angst or that anxiety or that going through that, seeing your kids, you know, not living the life that you think they should be living. But then you get older, as they get older, and you go, and you find yourself, you find where you're at, and you get closer to being the person you always want to be. That kind of stuff fades to the back. That kind of stuff fades to the back. Where, at least in my case, I became the priority. I have no problem with being a priority. I became the priority of my life. By far, bar none, unashamedly, unabashedly. It's Jeffrey. Jeffrey TV, damn it. Jeffreyism. Jeffrey. And my parents, they created that. They created me. the greatest thing in the universe. So I looked at him laid in that casket saying, you did it, you did it. You know, you got through it, you were born, you went through life, and you died. We all got to do it. We all got to get through it. And you know me, I'm a great. I'm a judging great. Did he do okay? Yeah. Did this person do okay? And that's all based on subjective experience, what I think. And that's cool. It's just all what I think. That's all. It's not no gospel. It's not what God thinks. It's not what society thinks. It may not even be reality. It's just what I think. And what I think is priority of the highest, especially at this age, in experience. Because I've been around enough to know. I've been around enough to know and experience things I've taught, things I've learned, that where I'm on the upper echelon of understanding now. I'm one of the elders, quote unquote, leaders of knowledge of people. You know, I know more than most people now. Just based on experience. Just based on education experience. And I don't mean like school experience necessarily, but I got that too. But like experience and learning and study. I put in the work. So in ways, I know more than most people. In fact, I know more than most people. Because most people don't even have an education. But anyway, I mean, most people live a more simplified life in the world. You know, in the world, some people just, quote unquote, primitive lifestyles. Now, if I was to be transformed into their environment, I wouldn't know nothing. I probably wouldn't be able to survive. So everything is relative. See, that's what I'm saying. That's why we need all kinds. That's why I go back to my highest tenet and look up the word tenet, highest tenet. There's nothing greater than a human being becoming that which they want to be. And then becoming who and that which they want to be. There's nothing higher than a human being becoming that and who becoming that which and who they want to be. So Happy New Year. 40 minutes later, Happy New Year, people. 2024 was a good year, and I didn't even know it was. That's the life I'm living. 2024 was a good year, and I didn't even realize it till I look back. I was scrolling through my pictures. I was like, damn, Jerry, you did all right. You did okay, Mr. Mitchell. You did quite all right, buddy. You did quite all right, Mr. Mitchell. Craig, I'm going to have to, when I get home, I got to fix my webpage. And then I'm going to go through my events from 2024 and list them, rank them, you know, point out the notables in it. Just to see what I did. I gotta look back. Another thing I realized too, I be going back every 2 months. I be back in Youngstown like 6 times a year. What the hell? To see that granddaughter, to see that old granddaughter, that big head baby, have her run me ragged. Actually, I'm not on the front lines, and I feel guilty even saying that. Terry, Mike's wife, and Kimberly, my daughter, who they're every day with her. That energy, oh my God, it just don't stop. It just don't stop. And you don't want to stifle it. You don't want to, you know, tamp it down, but good God, it Woo. You can hear it coming. You hear it when it wakes up. And then feet hitting the floor. Boom, boom, boom. Ain't nobody gotta walk all that hard. You're only 3 years old. And you come, ah! And screaming, ah! And then she used to bang on the door. So if you wake up, she come down and bang on the door. Kimberly would say, go downstairs. Go tell grandfather this. Go give grandfather that. Kimberly trying to get some time. Go give grandfather this. Go see grandfather. Here she come. Yeah. Yeah. I got a good life. I got a good life. Or should I say, I got the life that I wanted. I have the life that I wanted and have maybe even dreamed about. With that said, happy, happy new year to everyone. Blessings, joy, happiness all around. The only reason we're here, the only reason we're here, we don't know. The only reason we're here is up to you. You decide. The reason we are here, the reason for life, the reason we're going through this is completely up to you. Nobody has that answer. Nobody can determine that answer. It's completely up to you. And I guess in that case, if it's up to you, you can determine your reality. And that is kind of becoming the person that you always wanted to be, which is my highest tenet, because you actually determine a reality. You create your own reality. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, see how it all comes to come together? See how it all comes together? And see how I say the same thing over and over and over? I mean, say the same thing multiple times, and it meshes with something else, and the concept grows, and the idea grows. You become the person you always want to be, and create your own reality, your own direction, your own reason to be here. Nobody, nothing else could tell you why we're here or what we're supposed to do. Can't even tell you what you're supposed to do, what you ought to be. None of that. All of that is self-determined. And I absolutely love it the way life is like that. No matter what you see on the news, what you hear at church, what you hear in school, what you hear from your family, it's up to you. It's up to you to decide what you want, what you are, and maybe not so much as what you can be, but it's possible. It's definitely possible to get there, especially in America. In America, all you gotta do is know how to fill out the paperwork. You get any goddamn thing you want. Find out where the paperwork is at, who has it, how to sign, fill it out, who to submit it to. It's just that beautifully simple. Anyway, swinging on y'all two times for me and for the funk and for a happy new year to everybody and everything, to every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all, theory of universe. Hypothesis of all. as one. Happiest of New Year's. Happiest of New Year's year. Happy New Year. My name is Jeffrey.